Luke chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus telling the account here. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And we do know from Scripture there was one that did rise from the dead. And many still reject his teachings every day. The preaching of hell, the belief in hell, is somewhat considered today to be old-fashioned and out of style. But tonight it's reality. As real as there is a heaven, there is a literal burning hell. And I want to get some things out of the way tonight. You say, Brian, how can a God of love send people to an awful place called hell? Well, let's just get this right out of the way. God does not send anybody to hell. You send yourself to hell when you choose to reject Jesus as your personal Savior. There are some cults in the world religions that would teach of a place of paradise, but they also teach another place of torment. But it's not just paradise that we're talking about, and it's not just another place where people go. No, the Bible says there is a heaven and there's a hell. And some things I want to bring to you tonight about hell. First of all, hell is a real place. Because in verse 23, the Bible specifically says, And in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he also said, when he was talking about his five brethren, he said, Go and send someone to them that they would come to this place of torment. Hell is a real place. There was a poll taken not too long ago by Fox News that surveyed a bunch of people, and they found that 40% of Americans don't believe in hell. They also found that another 10% believe that everybody goes to heaven. So really we can say that 50% of the people that were polled do not believe in hell. That's a sad shape we're living in. A nation that was founded upon God and biblical principles. Now 50% of them would say that there is not a hell. And I guarantee if you go even churches around this community, there would be pastors and preachers that would say, Oh yes, I believe in heaven, but they do not believe in hell. It's a sad state we're living in tonight, folks. We have to believe that there is a hell. Jesus taught about it. We read about it in His Word. And tonight I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I gotta warn you, there's another place that you'll go if you don't accept Christ as your personal Savior. It's a real place called hell. Jesus believed in hell. I've already stated Jesus preached more about hell than He did about heaven in His Word. And I believe the reason why is because Jesus knew with His infinite foreknowledge that there would be more people that would die and go to hell than there would go to heaven. I'm telling you what, I need your prayers tonight. This is a sermon that the devil don't want to hear. This is a sermon that most people don't want to hear. But I'm telling you what tonight, Christian, we need to hear it. And we need to know that there is a literal burning hell, because we have people dying around us every day of our lives. And you'll notice that this county and this community, we have the most drug overdoses by young men and women under the age of 35 than any county in this state. I'm telling you what, folks, millions of prescription drugs are written every single day and every every single year. I'll tell you what, people are dying right next to us. Our neighbors are dying. Our friends are dying. Our family is dying. And they're lost without God. They need to hear about hell. And they don't have to go there if they choose Jesus. It's a real place. You say, Brian, where is hell? I read some scholars the past few weeks that believe hell is located under the Dead Sea. Not sure if that's true or not, but the Bible does give us where hell is and what it is. Matthew 8:12, Matthew 22:13, Matthew 25:30, 2 Peter 2:17, and Jude 1:13 all call hell a place of outer darkness. That literally means that if you choose not to accept God as your personal Savior, you will be eternally separated from God forever. Hell is a real place. Hell is full of real people. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. This man was nameless. We know that he was rich. We knew that he feasted off worldly things. And we know that probably from Scripture he did not like Lazarus very well. He probably kicked him to the curb. Lazarus probably begged for him for money and for help. But the rich man just walked by him and disdained him. I'm telling you what tonight, even though this man was nameless, I believe there was a reason why Jesus left his name out. Because that we can put you in there. We can put our family members in there. You say, Brian, this is just a parable. This is just a story. No, it is not. You'll read every time Jesus talked about parables. He always say, I speak unto you in parables. I want to tell you this parable. I want to tell you this story. But the words in the first verse, verse 19 says, this is a true account. Because it says, there was a certain rich man. And if we can get the picture of Jesus talking to the crowd that day, I bet there would be people that knew who that rich man was. And I'm telling you, every single one of you in here tonight may know someone that is in hell tonight. I'll tell you what, this man was a mother's son. This man had a father. This man probably had a wife. This man probably had children. We know he had at least 5 brothers, and maybe he had more family. I'm telling you what, tonight, folks, there'll be people in hell that you will know. Maybe some of your family members are there this evening. Your own household, maybe. Some of them are there, and some of them are on their way there. That's why I preach about this tonight, because hell is a real place. And it's going to be full of real people. Real people. But hell wasn't made for men. Hell was made for the fallen angels. A third of heaven that rejected God. The angel Lucifer that thought he would be bigger than God. God threw him out along with a third of heaven. And the Bible talks about hell enlarging herself. Why? Because it wasn't made for you. It wasn't made for me. It was made for the devil and his little imps. But I'm telling you what, hell is getting bigger day by day by day. Because every second, 2.25 people die every second in this world. I'm telling you what, folks, you don't know. The next call you can get will be from a family member that's dead. One phone call can change your life. One car accident can change your life. One email can change your life. One text message can change your life. I'm telling you what, the next 2 seconds, the next 3 seconds, the next hour, thousands of people will be ushered out into eternity, and hell will be filled with real people tonight. And you could be one of them. Hell is full of real people. It's a real place, but it's full of real punishment. Look how many times this rich man called hell a place of torment. Pain and torment. Some scholars would say this is symbolic. But really, symbolism is only used when conventional language is inadequate to describe something. But this is real. Hell is much worse. Isaiah 66:24 says very specifically, their worm shall not die. Talking about hell. Folks, I don't mean to get gross and I don't mean to get gruesome. But I just want to prove to you tonight, and I want to show you through the Word of God, what hell is going to be like. It's hard to describe and it's hard to get in people's minds today about hell because our world is filled with violence. And when I describe some of this to you, some of the teenagers in here, and some of you even middle-aged and adults, would say, well, that's just the next horror movie coming down the road. I've seen that before. But see, horror movies are fake. Horror movies are made up. But this is real. It's a place of real punishment. 83 times the Bible talks about hell in the New Testament. This is not a literal figment of our imagination. This is real. It's going to be filled with unquenchable fire. Mark 9:43 teaches in Luke 16:24. When you're in hell, you'll be full of remorse. This rich man had a memory. Imagine that. Imagine that. See, in heaven, when we get to heaven, we'll have a new body, we'll have a new mind. And we won't remember our past. We won't remember the sin that we were in. But sinner friend, tonight, if you go to hell, you'll remember every single sermon you ever heard. You'll remember every single song. You'll remember every invitation song. You'll remember every plea by your friends and family to come to an altar of prayer. You'll remember. This man cried, and I believe he's still crying tonight. He cried, oh, Abraham, if Lazarus would come and dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I believe he's still crying those same words tonight. Why? Because he remembers. He remembers every opportunity he had to call on the name of the Lord. And sinner friend tonight, if you choose to reject Jesus and you go to hell, you'll have a memory as sharp as anybody in here tonight. You'll remember everything. You'll remember every plea. You'll remember every move of the Holy Spirit upon your soul. But in that day, it'll be too late. You'll call upon God, but He will not answer. Unquenchable fire, full of remorse with no forgiveness. You'll have intense, unsatisfied thirst. Imagine, maybe this rich man never gave Lazarus any water, and now he has unquenchable thirst. Can you imagine in hell those that decided to spend their life as a thief and a robber? Their hands burning constantly because they use them as tools for the devil. Can you imagine someone that cursed the name of God and blasphemed the name of God? They were hypocritical. People that filled churches that stood up and proclaimed Christ, but down in their heart, they knew they weren't right with God. And tonight, there's a bunch of church people in hell that are crying, Lord, if I just had one more chance to get real with God. There'll be people, their tongues will burn out of their mouth because they were hypocritical to God and His Word. Can you imagine sinners' ears burning because they listened to gossip and believed a lie? And we're damned. It's a place where their worm shall not die. A worm appears on bodies after they've been decayed. And they feed off rotten flesh. In hell, your body will decay forever. But you will not die. You'll wish to die. You'll pray to die. But you won't die. Worms will eat at your flesh till there's nothing left, but you won't die. You say, Brian, you're making all this up. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. This is real. This is real. You'll be full of misery and pain in hell. You think about the pain you have with arthritis and the things of this world. You think about the pain you have when you wake up in the morning, the aches and pains that we carry around. And multiply that by 1,000 times. And you won't be able to even drop in the bucket compared to what the pain you'll feel in hell. One of the worst things about hell is there is eternal separation. You hear what the man said? There's a great gulf fixed. So that I can't get to you and you can't get to us. See, I believe, and some people you may disagree, but that's fine. But I believe those in hell will be able to look up through that great gulf and see us rejoicing in heaven. But yet all of us in heaven won't know a thing that's going on except crying, holy, holy, holy to the Lamb of God. Some of you will see your mom and dad rejoicing around the throne, and you'll remember every time you remember walking by their casket and saying, "Mama, I'll see you on the other side." But you never made restitution with God. Some of you tonight are sitting here with unfulfilled promises. You told your mom and dad, "I'll meet you," but you still aren't saved. And you'll see them, but you won't be able to get to them. You'll holler their name, "Mom, Dad," but they won't hear you. And in hell, there's undiluted wrath from God. See, we think the bombings by terrorists are bad. We think the tsunamis are bad, and they are. They're terrible, terrible destruction. But hell, we'll be experiencing the unleashed wrath of God. There'll be no Holy Spirit to prevent Him from doing His work. No, God will unleash all of His anger. There'll be no hope for you in that awful place called hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is full of real punishment. Hell is full of real people. And listen tonight, hell is full of real permanence. Hell is permanent. I firmly believe that the rich man is in hell tonight. I believe he's there. I believe he's crying out for another drink of water. I believe he's trying his best to cry out for Abraham's bosom. He's trying his best to get Lazarus' attention, but to no hope, permanently lost without God. If we can open up the portals of hell tonight and look down, there'll be some of your friends, there'll be some of your family. And if we could hear them speak to us tonight, you know what they would say? "Don't come to this awful place. Don't come to this awful place. The Bible was right. Jesus was right. The preacher was right. Don't come to this awful place." I read an account of a man a few days ago that he was getting ready to go into heart surgery. And as he was getting ready to go, he had a major heart attack, and they were putting him on the surgical table. And as he was getting ready to go into surgery, he passed out. And as they were doing surgery, this man had a vision and he went to hell. As he passed out, he felt himself diving into a large bottomless pit. And he was falling, he said, for what seemed like forever. Then all of a sudden, it got dark and he landed. And he stood up. And it was totally dark. He said the darkness was so thick, it was taking his breath away. He tried to reach for things, but he heard moanings and he heard crying, but he couldn't see him. Then all of a sudden, he saw fire coming out of the ground. He saw other people falling to where he was. And he realized these were people that had died without Christ. Every second, two or three people would come and join him. And then he said an angelic being appeared in their midst. He said, "If you want peace, follow me." So they follow him down this dark chasm. And he said as he began to walk, he saw these bottomless pits, and he saw other pits inside these pits. He saw fire coming out of these pits. He saw men and women that were inside these pits, and then they would jump out of the pit and they would pull people out. They were teenagers yelling at their mom and dad. They would say, "It's your fault I'm in hell. You didn't teach me about Jesus. It's your fault I'm here." And the moan and the pain and the agony, he said, was unlike anything I've ever heard. And then he got into a room, a dark room, and he began to smell sulfur. And he remembered working in coal mines, and he remembered an accident in the coal mine, a fire that happened, and men died in that fire. They were burned alive in that fire. And he remembered the smell of burning flesh in his nostrils. And that's exactly what it smelled like in hell. He said it was constant. It was thick. It made you sick to your stomach, the smell of burning rotten flesh. The Lord spared him. He woke up on the operating table. Began to share his story with others. Got his heart right with God. He was one of the lucky ones. One of the blessed ones. Yet many people die every day, hoping to wake up from what they think is a dream. But yet, it's permanent. It's permanent. Hell. Hell is not annihilation. Hell is not some temporary place of purging. Hell is not the grave. No, it's a permanent place. It's a permanent dwelling place. This isn't a parable. This isn't some scare tactic I'm not trying to scare you tonight. I'm trying to get you to realize hell is a reality. It's a real place full of real people with real punishment and real permanence. And if I would stop there, this would be a sad sermon. But I got to tell you the good news. This gives us a real promise that we don't have to go to hell. Hallelujah. Yes, it's a real place, but thank God Jesus also gave us a real promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say, Brian, saved from what? Saved from hell! Saved from hell. See, when I got saved at the age of 5 years old, I didn't love the Lord like I love Him now. But the preacher that night preached on hell, and I got scared. And I said, I don't know really all about heaven, and I don't understand about God's love. But I'm scared. I don't want to go to hell. And I came to that altar, and I got saved. And thank God tonight, I made my reservation back in 1981. And that reservation still holds true tonight. I'm thankful for God's love, but I'm so thankful tonight, I don't have to go to hell. And not only do I don't have to, but I'm not. Cause a real promise in God's Word. Thank God. You say, Brian, how do I not go to hell? Well, it's very easy. All you have to do is change your mind. That's it. Just change your mind. It's that simple. Repentance is not some 6 or 7 or 12 step program. Repentance is a 1 step program. Come to Jesus. Walk away a saint and saved child of God. And that 1 step is what Jacob preached on the other night. The blood of Jesus. That's how you're saved. You come and kneel at the cross of Calvary. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you from a life of sin. You don't have to worry. The Bible says you confess your sins unto Him and He was faithful and just to forgive you. You don't have to come here and just spew out all your sins. He knows every single one of them. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I don't want to go to hell. And guess what He'll do? Thank God He'll save you and set you free. And then you can walk a straight and narrow way to heaven with all of us and rejoice around the throne. But in order to do that, you have to change your way of thinking. See, most people think this way. I will live my life according to these beliefs, that God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I'm deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think that I am lost and in need of saving. That's what most people think. That's what you think tonight, really, if you're a sinner. This is all you have to do in order to be saved is just reverse what I just said. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world. That there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's just foolish to think God does not exist, and I will live my life according to these beliefs. See, it's just as easy as changing your mind.